If I were to ask you this evening, what do you believe is one of the greatest sins of Israel? What would your response be? As you look at the nation of Israel, what is the sins or sin that stands out to be one of the greatest problems that they faced as a nation?
Lack of faithfulness.
Lack of faithfulness. I think that is true within them.
Unbelief.
Idolatry. They struggle with idolatry. In fact, that was really one of the main sins of the book of Judges. Kept falling into that cycle of idolatry. Other thoughts?
Disobedience.
They were truly a disobedient people. Matter of fact, God would call them a stiff-necked people. Every time He would want them to do something, they would just seem to stiffen up and do it their own way. Other thoughts?
Grumbling and complaining.
Anything else?
Fault finding with leadership.
What's that again?
Fault finding with God's appointed leaders.
Fault finding with God's appointed leaders. I think Moses would say that's true. He was the brunt of most of that. And Aaron. Any other thoughts? Actually, the thought that came to my mind, or the thing that I'm going to address tonight, it's already been mentioned. And I think if you would take a survey of their history, you're going to find that a sin that plagued them, especially early in the days of their establishment, was the sin of murmuring, the sin of complaining. You go through and you read their wilderness wanderings, and over again, you will find a people that murmured and complained, that would find their fault in the leadership as they would do that which God had called them to do. In the Old Testament, you find that they murmured and murmured against the Lord. So tonight, as we look at that thought tonight, I've entitled tonight's message, Contending or Content. And I want to talk to you about that tonight, but before we do that, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that we can come and we can look at Your Word and we can study it together. Lord, I ask and pray that You would help us as we consider the example of the Israelites. It's one that isn't a good example, but it is an example for us and we should learn from it. And Father, I pray tonight that You would help us to be a people that are joyful and gracious and thankful for all that You have done. So, Lord, we ask and pray Your blessing upon our time and our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the early years of Israel's history, we find them over and again murmuring against Moses and Aaron. But when you consider that they murmured against these men and against that which was taking place within their life, in essence, they were truly murmuring and complaining against the Lord Himself. Tonight, as we consider that thought, contending or content, I want us to understand the danger of a complaining spirit. Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to get into such a habit, to complain, to find fault, to murmur even against the Lord. And there is a danger of a complaining spirit. Mark Twain made this comment about those who complain. He says, "Don't complain and talk about all your problems. 80% of people don't care, and the other 20% will think you deserve them." That was his thoughts on whether or not we ought to complain. Charles Spurgeon, in his sermon, used the following illustration as he tried to help people with this problem of a complaining spirit. He said, "A heavy wagon was being dragged along a country road by a team of oxen. The axles groaned and creaked terribly. The oxen turned and addressed the wheels and said, 'Hey there, why do you make so much noise? We bear all the labor, and we, not you, ought to cry out.'" He went on then to say this: "Those complain first in our churches who have the least to do. The gift of grumbling is largely dispensed among those who have no other talents or who keep what they have wrapped up in a napkin." There is a problem of those who will complain. And God would have us to avoid a complaining spirit. And all of us struggle with it. I'll be honest with you. I struggled with it today. Today was one of those days where you make a list of all the things you need to accomplish and you're able to check off one or two. Every time I turned around, there was one more distraction or one other thing. When I'm sitting down, especially trying to get prepared for messages, I need a nice little block of time where I'm uninterrupted. And every time I would just get to that point, someone else would show up that needed my attention, or someone else would call, or someone else would send a message, and I just felt like it just kept happening over and over again. You ever have those days? It's easy on those days, is it not, just to want to complain? It's easy to want to murmur. And God would have us, though, to be careful not to cultivate a complaining spirit. As we begin tonight, I want to talk about the problem of a complaining spirit. We know that during the wilderness years of Israel, there was a constant murmuring of the people. The murmuring led to the judgment of the Lord on several occasions. And I want to begin tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. We want to learn how to avoid the problems of a complaining spirit. From the time of their deliverance from Egypt to the time of their arrival in the Promised Land, God had provided for His people all along the way. God had met their needs for food. He had met their needs for water. He had provided them protection from their enemies. He had provided them the guidance that they would need upon their journeys. The Bible even says that in their entire travels, their shoes would never wear out. God provided for their every need along the way. When you come to Numbers chapter 14, we find the people of Israel with a complaining spirit. You'll remember that in chapter 13, they have sent the spies into Kadesh Barnea. And the spies have come back and said, this is a land that it is ripe and it is ready. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants in that land. There is no way we can go in there. Forget it, Moses. I know Caleb, he's got this optimistic spirit, and Joshua's right there with him. Those two are nuts. We can't do it. In fact, know what you find? In chapter 14, the people reason together and say, I think it's time to get rid of Moses. I think this guy is off his rocker. I think it's time we get ourselves a new leader, and let's go back to Egypt. There's a good plan. Let's go back and be involved in slavery again. Let's go build some more bricks, because I think that was more fun than entering the Promised Land. And that's where they're at. Their spirit is so grumbling. Their spirit is so filled with murmuring. They're ready to turn back and go to Egypt. And we find that God then is ready. His anger is kindled against the people. He is ready to destroy them. I marvel what Moses does in this chapter. He actually goes and he pleads to God for those people. In fact, in verse 17, Moses is here praying. It says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great, according thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children unto the third and fourth generation. He reminds God of His wonderful mercy and His wonderful character of His long-suffering. And Moses is interceding for them. Lord, don't destroy them. They are Your people. And he reminds even the people of God is one who is long-suffering. But for their sin, we find in this chapter that God says there is a consequence. I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 26 says, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Then in verse 28, he goes on to tell them, all those who are 20 years of age and up will not enter into the Promised Land, save Caleb and Joshua. And God said, I've had enough of their murmuring. I've had enough of that complaining spirit. Those who are 20 years of age or older will die within the wilderness. You know, as we consider those things, I think it's important to remember that although the people complained about Moses and they complained about the circumstances, God's view in verse 27 was this: they murmur against me. Every time they offered their complaint, Moses, what is it that you have done? Have you brought us to this wilderness that we would die? Moses, why would you bring us out and give us no food? Why would you bring us out and give us no water? And they complained and complained and complained against Moses. But God addresses it and says, they have murmured against me. I have heard their complaints against me. I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, every time that you complain, every time that I complain, every time that we murmur against one another or against our circumstances, do you understand that we're really doing that against the Lord? That thought needs to settle within our hearts. When we complain about a brother or sister of Christ, we're really complaining about our Lord. When we complain about the circumstances that we're in, we're really complaining against the Lord. When we complain against the leaders around us, we're complaining to the Lord and about the Lord. We're complaining against Him. Why do we say that? Isn't it because God is the one who put those people in our path? God is the one who brought those circumstances to us? Someone said to me not that long ago, you know, Pastor, I really don't like it when people complain about the weather. You know why? Because really, we're complaining against God. I thought, very wise. Who made the weather? Who made the rain? God did. By the way, no matter where you go in the world, people complain about the weather. Those people that have no rain and always sun, guess what they complain about? Man, we never get any rain. Those of us who get an abundance of rain complain about we never get any sunshine. Those who have it warm say it's always too hot. It's never cool enough. I wish I had your temperatures. Those who have our temperatures go, boy, I really like Florida. You know what it really comes down to? No matter where you live, if you have a complaining spirit, you're going to find something to complain about. Did not God make the weather patterns? Did He not make the climates? Did He not make their differences here upon His own earth? Did He not choose to put you where He put you? Was that not His choice? When you complain against those things, you're complaining against the Lord. You know what God says in Numbers? I'm done listening to their murmuring. And He brought judgment upon them simply for their complaining spirit. Folks, God is not pleased with such a spirit. Matter of fact, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I found this passage to be interesting today as I was considering it. We often come to chapter 10 and we look at a verse quickly like verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able and will provide a way of escape. We cling to verses like that. Go back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and it passed through the sea. Jump down to verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So Paul is writing and saying, listen, understand that there's been examples put before you. Our fathers passed through the cloud and through the sea, but understand, God wasn't pleased with all of them. Why? Look at what he says. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some were of them. As it is written, the prophets sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now look at verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Now some of those verses are pretty common to us. Verse 12 is pretty common. Verse 13 is pretty common. We don't think much about verse 10. God gives us examples of the sins of the people, one of which was murmuring. This was given as an example. Verse 12, take heed lest you fall. Then we're reminded of that wonderful promise in that context. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And in that, God is faithful. And in His faithfulness, He will provide for you the way out. He will give you the help and strength that you need, that you fall not into these same sins. God has graciously recorded for you and I the sin of a people for our admonition that we not fall. And one of the sins that He records is that complaining spirit. And He says because of it, they were, hear the word, destroyed. That's a strong word, folks. We talk about complaining like, oh, it's no big deal. We all do it. God said, I destroyed them for it. How do you think He feels about it? You and I blow it off. You and I justify it. God said, I destroyed for it. Now learn from it. And I'll provide for you the help that you need in all of these things. By the way, it's when you get down to verse 31, we have that most familiar verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That verse is in that chapter in those contexts. God wants you and I to be glorifying to Him. So instead of fostering this spirit of contention by means of complaining, we need to learn to be content. Now turn to the book of Jude. And I want you to look at verse 16. Jude 16. Jude, in this passage, is reminding us the part of which describes an ungodly generation are those who complain. Jude is writing about those who are apostatizing, the ungodly generation. He says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. As Jude describes an evil generation, he calls them murmurers and complainers. Those two words are interesting in this passage. The word murmur here literally means to find fault with God's allotments. To find fault with God's allotment, it means one who murmurs is one that willfully complains about God's plans, about God's purposes, and about God's doings. Find yourself there? God's plans, God's purposes, and God's doings. You know, God brings all things into your life for a reason. And when we murmur, we're finding fault with what God is doing. The word complainer is a word that means to find fault with one's lot in life. Why do we do that, by the way? Why do we look at our life and say, man, this isn't fair. Look at my lot. Why do we get there? What are we often doing? Coveting? Why do you covet? There's a reason you covet. We think the grass is greener on the other side, which means we're doing what? Lusting. Why are you lusting? Because you're doing something. We're jealous. We're jealous because we're doing something specific. We're sinning, yes. We're comparing. You're looking at someone else and saying, boy, it's a lot better for them than it is for me. That's not fair. I wish I had what they had, and we begin to complain about our lot in life. We look and say, the grass is greener over there. You know what they're saying? The grass is greener over here. You'd be surprised. We complain about our rain, and people complain about their sun. The reality is, if you have a complaining spirit, you're going to be looking at your life and saying, my life isn't good enough. And what God has done in my life hasn't been fair and it hasn't been right. God hasn't treated me properly. When you and I enter into that, folks, we are attacking the very character of Almighty God. And for that, He destroyed. We look at a complaining spirit and We all do it. God looks upon and he says, it's a problem. Murmuring and complaining is something that God has judged and will judge. We show our lack of contentment, and in all fairness, we show our lack of faith in God. No matter how you and I try to justify in our minds a complaining spirit, we are throwing our fist in the face of God and blaming him for all of our problems and accusing his very character. Oh, that you and I would beware of a complaining spirit. How do we fight such a spirit? There's a problem of a complaining spirit, but there is a power in the contented spirit. The antithesis of complaining is wrapped up in that truth of contentment. And Paul would address that truth in several ways throughout his letters. I want you to begin with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you and I are going to fight a complaining spirit, then I think that is found as you and I learn to be content. Contentment is that which will fight or ward off a complaining spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul would teach us this lesson about contentment. Verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Paul begins and he teaches this truth that contentment is to be valued. But godliness with contentment is great gain. As Paul writes to Timothy, he tells Timothy that the spirit of contentment is something to be valued. Godliness. Godliness could be defined as seeing things from God's point of view and doing those things in accordance to his will. As you and I face the circumstances and situations of life, to view it from God's perspective, to look at it through his lenses and to see your life and my life from his point of view, and to live our life then in accordance to his will and his plan and his purposes. Godliness, coupled with contentment, a willingness to accept our lot in life and the plans and purposes with God. Those two coupled together, Paul says, is of great value. It's of great gain. He goes on to remind Timothy, you brought nothing into this world and you're taking nothing with you. Now, when you and I begin to have a complaining spirit, it's often because of things that we think we should have had, experiences that we think we shouldn't have had to gone through. But you know what? You're not taking a blessed thing with you. You brought nothing with you when you came. You came in empty-handed. You're going out empty-handed, folks. We can be content. God is the one who provides for our every need. Having food and raiment, therewith be content. We don't have to be complaining. We can be content. He goes on to remind him, though, that those who desire to be rich or desire more fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. They drown themselves in destruction and perdition. What are we going after? We ought to learn to be content. Matter of fact, Jude reminded us in verse 16 that the ungodly who murmured and complained, they walked according to their lusts. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Listen, Timothy, contentment is to be valued. Not things. Not possessions. Having food and raiment, Timothy, learn to be content. Learn to trust in your God. Learn to give him thanks for everything that he has given. But contentment is to be valued. When we find that complaining spirit rising up within us, we have to learn to come to the Lord and ask his help to cultivate within us that spirit of contentment. But I want you to be ready for what that means. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When you and I feel that complaining spirit coming in to our life, and we desire instead of being content and joyful, that we would rather murmur against the Lord, we ought to ask the Lord for His help and for Him to create within us a spirit of contentment. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Paul writes and says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Look at verse 12. "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Contentment has to be learned. That's the other principle. Contentment must be learned. Paul says, "I have learned therewith to be content." Are you willing to learn to be content? Be careful about that answer. Because you know what verse 12 tells me? The school of learning for contentment includes both exaltation and abasement. It includes the highs and it includes the lows. But we need to learn to be content. In order to learn this contentment, it's going to require faith in God. How do I know that? I know that because of the beginning of this chapter. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We're to let our moderation be known unto all men, our reasonableness to be made known to all men, believing the Lord is at hand." That takes faith. Faith requires that we be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Instead of worry and being filled with anxiety, learning to come to the Lord with our petitions and truly thank Him for all those things that He has brought within to our lives. Verse 8 tells me that I'm to avoid dwelling upon evil thoughts, but instead to think upon that which is lovely, true, honest, and just. Folks, to live that life requires faith and to trust in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always? Yes. Let my reasonableness be made known unto all men. Why? Because I believe God is at hand. He is with me. Not to be filled with anger or worry and anxiety, but instead to bring my petitions and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ and say thanks for what He has brought to me. That takes faith. Not to think evil, but instead to think upon that which is honest and pure and just and lovely and of a good report. It takes faith. And as we go through those experiences and we do that which God tells us to do by faith, we learn this valuable spirit of contentment. And we avoid the sin of complaining. The question is, are we willing to learn how to be content? Are we willing to put our faith in God even when we cannot see things afar off? Are we willing to take God at His word and do His will because we believe that God is a holy God, that He never makes a mistake, that He always does what is right and just? Are you content? People of Israel struggled with a spirit of complaining. It hindered them all along the way. Instead of really knowing God's blessing, that spirit of murmuring and complaining hindered them. And it came to a head in Numbers 14. And God said, "Of that generation, they will not enter into my rest. Of that generation, they will not see the promised land to which they have traveled." Even though they tried, God said, "No. Your carcasses will be found in the wilderness. Another generation will know your blessing." Why? Because they murmured against the Lord. How long, God says, do I have to listen to them complain? How long? Folks, when you and I complain against God, we attack his very character. God doesn't want a complaining spirit. You and I need to have a content spirit. That's of great value, but it's something you and I must cultivate and learn. And it's not always easy to learn. Because sometimes, in order to learn it, we have to allow God to be willing to take everything else away and make us fully dependent on him. To trust in him with all of our heart. To no longer lean to our understanding. But in all of our ways, acknowledge him, letting him direct our paths. Folks, that's hard to get out of the driver's seat and get into the passenger seat for some of us. But if we're going to get rid of that complaining spirit, we've got to learn to be content. Too many people today are quick to complain, to murmur against the pastor, the programs, the projects. We're too quick to speak our mind. When probably, folks, we need to learn to shut our mouths and trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We're quick to judge others. But boy, we challenge all who would judge us. Too many today are contending instead of just learning to be content. God was not pleased then, and he is not pleased today. If you and I have a tendency to complain, let's stop and consider what you're saying about God the next time you're ready to open your mouth and file a complaint about your circumstances or the people around you or the pastor, the programs, the projects, whatever it is. Before you utter that complaint, just think about what you're saying against Almighty God, because you're murmuring against him. And you're complaining against him and him alone. His character is being called into question. And folks, our God is one in whom we can trust. He has proven time and time again, he is a God whose character does not change. He was holy in the beginning. He will be holy in the end. And he is holy right in the middle. We need to learn to put faith in him, trust him, and get rid of a complaining spirit. It doesn't matter if it's just once in a while, folks, when that ugly head rises up. We need to get rid of it from our heart, because it's one that God said is not pleasing to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time tonight. We thank you for the blessing to be able to come and look into your word. And Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to get rid of within our own hearts a complaining spirit. Lord, we can begin to look around and we can see other things and we can look at other people and we can see what they do and we can look at our circumstances compared to theirs. And Lord, we can just begin to murmur. We can just begin to complain. But Lord, when we do so, we're complaining against you and no one else. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to stop and to think. And Lord, I pray sometimes that you would help us, in all fairness, to learn to shut our mouths and learn to give you thanks and learn to trust in you and learn to wait upon you that our strength might be renewed. Lord, I pray that you would use us then as a mighty people, that we would then know your wonderful blessings and enter into that peace and rest that you can give. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for our time together tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we go. Lord, I pray that you give us a good remainder of our week this week. And may Jesus Christ be given all the honor, glory, and praise for what he does within our lives. And may we be careful to praise him for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.